I know I feel better overall when I get outside and I get active. But when I don't have the right gear, especially when the weather is unpredictable this spring, it's harder to live that life that I really want. And that's why I'm sort of obsessed now with my Vessi shoes. I have two pairs, and I'm literally wearing at least one of them every day because Vessis are so comfortable, they're easy to get on and off when I'm on the go, and they are super stylish. I love how they look. Plus, get this, they're also 100% waterproof. And I really turn to my Stormburst high tops when I'm ready for a bit more adventuring out and about. They are so versatile, though. I can wear them for everyday errands and getting things done, or taking them into the elements, from beach days to walking around the city to a rainy day hike. Elevate your spring wardrobe with Vessi's Stormburst shoes. Discover more at vessi.com/newsworthy. Get your pair today to get an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout and be ready to step out in style, rain or shine. Trust me, you will not regret this. Go to vessi.com/newsworthy to get your new favorite shoes with an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout.
Today is Saturday, October 24th, and today we're talking about COVID-19 during flu season, what you need to know about the surge of cases we're seeing again around the U.S. right now, why the so-called twindemic is such a concern in the months ahead, advice for how to handle the upcoming holidays, and much more. Our guest today is Dr. Seema Yasmin. She's a public health doctor, former CDC disease detective, and an Emmy Award-winning medical journalist. She's the author of Viral BS, Medical Myths, and Why We Fall for Them. So here's our conversation about COVID-19 and the flu. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, when we provide all the day's news in just 10 minutes. It's fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. It's time for today's Special Edition Saturday. You ready? Let's do this. Hi, Dr. Yasmin. Thanks for coming on the show.
Of course. Good to talk to you.
So we are already seeing kind of another surge in cases around the U.S. right now. Why do you think this is happening now?
People have COVID fatigue at this point. So I think it's a lot harder to keep your guard up, be really careful when you're not just asking people to do that for a month or 2 months. We've asked them to do it for the best part of this year. And also, unfortunately, what's happening right now with this kind of third wave, this another surge in cases, is that it was really predictable, because even though we've been here before, even though we've had surges and hotspots in the northeast of the US and the southeast and southern states and in the west, we've never really gotten this pandemic under control. So it was highly predictable that we'd see another surge now. And what we're seeing now is this surge in cases in the Midwest and the Northern Plains.
Yeah. So what do you expect for the rest of fall and moving into winter?
The numbers do not bode well for us for the next few months. And of course, we're not only contending with COVID-19, but it's October, we're heading into flu season, and just your regular cold season as well. So people are going to be thinking more and more, wait, I have a scratchy throat, I don't feel so great, I have muscle aches or a headache. Is it COVID? Is it flu? Is it the cold? So we are up against more than one virus at this point. And of course, if you do get the flu, it can make your body more susceptible to getting another infection on top of it, basically meaning you could be more vulnerable to then getting COVID-19. In fact, when we think back to the 1918 flu pandemic about 100 years ago, we think about 50 million people died, and that many of them did not die directly from the flu itself, but they died from bacterial infections that they got on top of the flu. And of course, we didn't have antibiotics then. We do have those treatments now. We still don't really have a cure for COVID-19, and flu can still kill upwards of 50 or 60,000 Americans each year. So even more reason to get your flu shot as soon as possible. Get it now. It takes about 2 weeks to kick in and start working anyway. But we really need to have our guard up against both COVID-19 and the flu.
Yeah, so many questions to follow up on that. First of all, why should we get the flu shot now? I've heard that by the end of October is the best time. Why is that?
Get it now because you want to have your protection kick in from the flu vaccine before we see a lot of flu spread. Normally, and this is not a normal year, but normally we see flu cases and deaths start to rise more towards January and February, actually. But we cannot take any risks this year because we're fighting this twindemic, if you like, of COVID-19 and the flu. And as I mentioned, it takes 2 weeks for the flu vaccine to work in. I also mentioned how having one of those infections can leave you more vulnerable to another infection. So that's why it's really important to kind of have all your guards up against both of those viruses. The good thing is, if you're doing the right things to protect yourselves against COVID-19, things like washing your hands frequently, wearing a mask, doing physical distancing, that's great, because those are the exact same things that will protect you from the flu as well. My concern is, if we're seeing such big spikes in cases, we're seeing really dramatic spikes in COVID-19 cases in the US, that means the conditions are ripe for the spread of flu as well.
What's the impact of now having this twindemic where the flu is playing a role? What's the impact on healthcare systems, for example?
It means that we can very quickly see the healthcare system get overwhelmed. And even in a kind of average year, when flu cases start to trend upwards and people start dying of flu here in the US, that on its own can start to overwhelm a healthcare system. And this is not your average year. We're not just up against the flu season right now. We're up against COVID-19 as well. And just last week, there were 8 hospitals in Missouri that were turning away ambulances because they had so many COVID-19 cases that their hospital systems were overwhelmed. They couldn't accept new patients. So then that really has a knock-on effect for everyone. So anyone listening who's like, well, I'm not too concerned about coronavirus, or I've had it, I think I'm immune, you should care, because the pandemic and now flu season as well actually has a trickle-down knock-on effect on every other aspect of healthcare as well. And we really need to keep doing what we were saying in March, which is flattening the curve to make sure our health systems don't get overburdened.
All right, still ahead, we talk about the differences between the flu and COVID-19 and Dr. Yasmin's advice for Halloween and Thanksgiving activities. But first, let's take a quick break to thank our sponsor today, Function of Beauty. If you're unhappy with your self-care or beauty routine, let's change that. You deserve to feel your best from head to toe. That's the philosophy at Function of Beauty, who makes personalized shampoos and conditioners that are formulated just for you. And now, along with hair care, they also offer customizable body wash and body lotion that can be tailored for your skin moisture level and other preferences. You can even pick your favorite color and fragrance, just like you can with their hair care. And whatever you get, I love that Function of Beauty's formulas always use clean ingredients that are cruelty-free. So what are you waiting for? Go to functionofbeauty.com/newsworthy to take your 4-part hair profile quiz, and you can save 20% on your first order. The quiz is quick and easy, and it helps them customize the products just for you. Go to functionofbeauty.com/newsworthy for 20% off to let them know you heard about it from our show. That's functionofbeauty.com/newsworthy. Now back to my conversation with Dr. Seema Yasmin. Can you talk about the differences between the flu and COVID-19?
They have much more in common than they do that is different. So of course, what you'll have heard that the two diseases have in common is those symptoms of fatigue and cough, muscle aches and things like that. They also have in common the way that they are transmitted. So, you know, close contact with others, those droplets spreading, touching surfaces that are contaminated. So it's hard to distinguish between COVID-19 and the flu unless folks are getting tested. We can come back to testing in a minute. What is a little bit different is that how quickly people get sick is different. So with flu, it's usually a much more abrupt onset. You don't feel so great, and then suddenly you feel really unwell. With COVID-19, it's much more of a gradual onset. Plus, there are a few symptoms, as you may have heard, that are a bit more common with COVID-19 compared to flu. So you will have heard people who've had COVID-19 talk about losing their sense of taste, losing their sense of smell. Those folks are also contagious for longer, people who have COVID-19 compared to the flu. So those are some of the key differences. Of course, we're learning with COVID-19 now that sure, 8 out of 10 people who contract the infection may have no symptoms or may have quite mild symptoms, but then we're really worried about that 20% still. You know, 15% of those are really, really severely ill. And then the 5% are like close to death. And then, of course, we often talk about COVID-19 in like life or death terms. Of course, we're mourning the loss of more than 220,000 Americans, which is just chilling when you think about it. But the other thing that really worries me is those people who had what we would even consider mild symptoms of COVID-19, but they just aren't getting over it. And sometimes these are young, previously healthy people who get the so-called mild symptoms, but 2 months down the line, 4 months down the line at this point, some even 5 months down the line, still can't go back to doing their yoga practice like they used to before the pandemic, climbing up flights of stairs, playing with their toddlers like they used to. So I'm also really worried that we shouldn't underestimate the severity of COVID-19 and thinking, well, sure, there's a death toll, but look how many have recovered, because not everyone who's recovering is fully going back to normal.
Early on, we told people, if you're just having minor cold-like symptoms, maybe stay away from other people, quarantine, but don't go to the doctor. You might overwhelm the healthcare system. Don't get tested. There's only so many resources. Is that still the case today? What's the most updated advice?
So this varies depending on where you live, because say, for example, you were in South Korea or Taiwan or China, the systems there are so advanced that if you start feeling not too well, you instantly get taken from home and put into a dedicated fever facility so that while you get tested, you're not exposing anyone else in your household. And here in the US, mostly what's happening is COVID-19 is being spread through household contacts. So one person gets sick, but where are they going to go? So they have to stay at home and hunker down. And then their partner gets sick, and then their kids get sick, and then their elderly parents get sick. I would want anyone who doesn't feel well to be able to go get a test. So that way you know exactly which infection you have. That's not realistic in the US. And as we're talking about, I'm so worried right now about healthcare systems becoming overwhelmed. So I think my best advice is, instead of turning up to a clinic, I mean, see if there's a drive-through facility first in your area, if that's accessible to you. That way you're not really coming into contact with other people. But if that's not an option, then to call your healthcare provider, talk through what particular symptoms you have, and then see what they can offer you in terms of testing and test turnaround times.
My final question is about some of the holidays coming up. I know that's a concern, that there's going to be holiday gatherings and that's going to be super spreader events. What would you recommend for individuals and families as they plan for Halloween and they plan for Thanksgiving?
So I say all of this with the big caveat that I know people are just fed up at this point. And we started our conversation by talking about COVID fatigue. And that is so real, because now it's October, we're heading into November. People are like, how much longer can I do this? How much longer can I keep my kids away from their grandparents? You know, social isolation amongst older adults is a really big problem as well. So we're trying to balance and weigh all these things. The problem is the surge is happening. I talked about the Midwestern states and the Northern Plains, but it's not just there. There are actually hotspots all over the country. Those are just some of the places faring worst right now. So it comes down to what people are fed up of hearing, I think. It comes down to pretty basic measures, which is trying to stay away from gatherings. If you have your pod, you have the people that you are exposed to on a daily basis, that's who you can really enjoy the holidays with. Well, trick or treating could be different, because say you're going outside, you may be limiting exposure to people. I've heard of people who are in their neighborhoods organizing in a way that kids are going to dress up in their costumes, wear a mask, and that people are going to leave candy for them on the porch and kind of leave it in a way where the kids aren't coming into close contact with the homeowner, for example. So that's kind of a bit different to the potluck scenario where you're all turning up with dishes, you're kind of eating buffet style, and there's many people congregating, probably in an indoor setting, given, you know, a lot of places are getting chillier right now. So it is different for those two things, but it still comes back to, at the top of your mind, thinking, this virus is spread mostly from droplets from an infected person. 8 out of 10 people have such mild symptoms that they may not even know that they are contagious. You may be contagious. Always act on that assumption that you could harm other people. So wear your mask, do physical distancing, stay within your pod. And that's what it comes down to until the government gets this under control.
Is there any final thought or takeaway?
Flu shots. And again, realizing that we may feel like we are done with this virus, but it is not done with us. So we still need to be really careful, and even more careful now, given that it's flu season too.
And you can learn more about our guest in today's episode notes on thenewsworthy.com. And as always, we'll keep you updated on all the day's news in just 10 minutes during our regular episodes, Monday through Friday. Thanks so much for joining us today. I'll be back on Monday with your next news roundup. Until then, have a great weekend.
C Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.